All right. Today is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. If you've been following our shiur, if you've been coming, then we know that today is a very big day. Today is the day that Hashem puts Rachmanut into the Bria. Hashem puts a brand new world, like we saw last time, that there's an argument whether the world was created in Chodesh Nisan or whether it was created in Chodesh Tishrei. And the way Tosafot explained it was that Hashem had his machshava to go and create the world in Tishrei. And then Hashem actually made the world, that he put it into a physical place in the month of Nisan, that is today. And to see that the world has a possibility of being just existing, surviving, growing, earning, Hashem said the world cannot live on just din. And so therefore Hashem put rachmanut, Hashem put mercy into the world. And we explained that today is the day that Hashem is now HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, that this is the day that is yours, this Chodesh is yours. We explained that the word Lachem is also the letters of Melech. This is the king of all the other months. What happens now inside this month is going to reverberate and echo throughout all the other months. How much Hashem is going to initiate, how much Hashem is going to invest, how much Hashem is going to show mercy, all these different aspects. Today's the day where we pray for that. Today's the day where we say to Hashem, please, I'm a worthwhile investment, and put inside me as much as humanly possible for me to keep on growing. Today's also the day that we explained, for those of you I put up onto the chat, right? I sent it to you. We put up onto the chat the Yehi Ratzon. Today is the first day of reading the Karbanot of the Nisi'im. That this is the day that when the Mishkan was made in the Midbar, when the Jews finally had their Mishkan, they had their sanctuary for Hashem inside the Midbar, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the day that Hashem had Moshe Rabbeinu put it together to erect the Mishkan, and now it was put together. It says, V'shechanti b'tocham, Hashem put his Shekhinah, Hashem put his essence down over here into this world. And each of the Nisi'im, each one of the, I guess you can call them presidents of each of the Shvatim, gave a karban on those first 12 days to inaugurate the sanctuary, to inaugurate the Mishkan. And that's a very powerful tefillah. We explained that inside your Siddurim, you're going to find where it says, the Seder Tefillot Nisan, a Seder Limod Nisan, really. And inside that, it shows us what you should read for each day. Today's the first day. Jump in. It's only about 2 minutes worth of reading. All you're reading is the Karban today that Shevet Yehuda brought. But then afterwards, there's a Yehi Ratzon. And that Yehi Ratzon says that Hashem, you should accept the Tefillot, accept a Karban, but more than that, for all the Nishamot in the world that have passed away, that their Nishamot should be accepted into high levels of Gan Eden. And we explain that when you pray for them, they realize who's praying for them, and then in turn, they pray for you. So to have the Nishamot who have passed away, to have Tefillot up in Shemayim, as they go into Gan Eden, if they have your name on their lips as the one who has prayed for them, to have those neshamot go in, I can't explain to you how powerful it is. The reason why I can't is because I don't know how powerful it is. It's beyond my pay grade. I have no clue what the Sfarim bring. That's an enormous, enormous time. So again, you look inside your Siddurim, you're going to see Seder, Limod, Nisan. Very worthwhile to say it. Very worthwhile to say the Yehi Ratzon afterwards. After, if you have a question where, whatever, I can show it to you afterwards. But now we got a lot to do. I am not feeling well. The allergies just kicked in big time yesterday and today. Been massive headaches, coughing like crazy. And I was thinking to cancel the class today. And I said, you just can't. You just can't. So too bad on everybody here. Not going to cancel the class. We're going to follow through with it because it's that important today to have this year, because this is the opener of Pesach. This is the one that hopefully will set our Seder. Hopefully will give us this place. I was just speaking, where's the Reb? So I'm just speaking to your husband to print the cards. I don't know if you guys remember, but we have the Pesach cards. So every single year we like to give them out, but there's been a complaint that I used to make them a postcard size, and it's just too many words, way too small. So right before I got here, I was making them big. I'll be buying an 8x11. So Bezrat Hashem, there's that. And your husband told me something I didn't know. I said to your husband, Nusa, how's it going? And he said, it's busy time. I said, yeah, the printing. He said, the printing. He said, my wife is a Shetelmacher. I said, what? You really? You make sure? I didn't know that. Okay, so I said, is it a busy season now? He's like, that's busy. So anybody here who is looking into making a Shetel, I don't, do you do repairs and things as well, or is just making it? The whole thing. The whole business. Anybody's listening out in the podcast world? I mean, I'm not going to give your address out over here, but yeah, you can email that Bezrat Hashem to prepare, because there is an idea of looking as regal as you can for Pesach. Looking at the table has to be, we'll talk about that, has to be set out beautifully. The way that we're dressed, that's why so many people are now looking into suits for Pesach, looking into dresses for Pesach, all these different things. So I didn't know you did that. So shetels as well, Rabotai, within the Chazak community. That's it. Just buy out all those shetels, Bezrat Hashem. So B'li Neder, we're going to have the printouts of those as well, hopefully by next week to give out. Very, very excited to do that. So I bring out the printouts because I will not be going through the printouts now. I hope next week to touch upon them. Now what we're going to go through is the theme. Now, we've had this shiur before. I know this is going to be somewhat of a repeat, maybe a few new ideas, but if you've had the Seder before, so then you've had this shiur before. And if the Seder is coming around again this year, so then we're going to be giving the same shiur because it's the same Seder, just hopefully done in more of an intense and hopefully in a more just beautiful way. Ah, the Seder. The Seder is a very pressure-filled time. The pressure is all over. The pressure is on the wife and on those who are setting up, trying to get the table set already from the night before, now get everything ready. And then from there, waiting, your husband comes home, and when they walk inside, it's just mayhem. Those of you who have your family that you invite over or that you're going to, sometimes your grandparents are the ones running the Seder, and you know, you and your husband would like to talk to your kids in one way, and then the Seder starts to go down a different way. And then you have so many different flavors of people by your Seder. You have people who want the Seder to go by fast. You have people who just want to slow down by every single word. Some of you will have your children coming back from Israel, and now they all flipped and they're all burnt out and religious, and that rabbi told them that they have to read every single word in the Seder carefully, and they're going to go until 2 o'clock in the morning. And then other people, they just want to talk politics at the Seder. You know, they're waiting at any second possible to throw in Biden, and they want to throw in all that. Everybody's got their own. And let's face it, the Seder very many times turns into this energy, and it definitely is, you know, a very strong energy. It's an energy that either is very positive, or it's an energy almost of like, I want to get this done with and get it over with. You know, like, all right, let's move on. Yeah, let's just finish this off, like that kind of a feeling. So we find that the Yetzer Hara will always be found in the place where we're about to accomplish the most. You always have to pay attention to that. If life, if the moment that we're sharing with our loved ones, if it's a moment which is pressured, if it's a moment where, just know the Yetzer Hara is very afraid of what you can accomplish within that time, within that moment. What a Jew can accomplish on the Seder night is unbelievable. I'm not going to get into the Kabbalistic concepts too much over here, but suffice it to say that Hashem created the world using the 10 Sfirot almost as like a filter for all of it to come down. And here, I mean, wow, this is perfect. I don't know how many light rings are here, but are there 10? Really cool if there are. There are 11. Okay, so it's 10 with Keter on top. Wonderful. But really, look at it like this. Like, imagine if I'm the world. Imagine if I'm like reality. And the other side, that's God. He sends his influence through all of these 10 rings to come to here. So the first one is Keter, and then Chachman, then Binan, then Dat, and then Chesed, Gevurah, Teferet, Nesach, Hod, Sod, and Malchut. And actually Malchut, this last ring, is actually where we are, and that's what accepts it all. The reason why I'm bringing that up is because, well, A, it's a really cool mashal to use this. I don't know if you knew how holy it was when you were getting it, but the mashal is so cool because a person who does the seder right, we say that it is the av, it's the father who's supposed to give over the chachma. Not by coincidence is it that the first of the svirot is called chachma, and that's also called the av, it's called the abba. And that is the place which Hashem goes and gives forth from himself into the world. A father is supposed to give forth the dat. He's supposed to give forth the knowledge of the seder. And that comes down as it goes into the kids. It is almost a mirror effect of heaven, of Abba in heaven, sending down his story to us, sending down his influence down to us. If you do it right, if it's done correctly, each one of the different things we have on the Seder plate has to do with these Sefirot as well. There are so many things going on behind the curtain of that we don't know. And you don't have to know. Like we've said once or twice, you don't have to know how to build an iPhone. You just have to know how to press the button. So over here as well, you don't have to know how it's working. You just have to know how to press the button. And incredible things are happening on that night. The Yetzer Hara, the Satan, sees what is at stake, what you can end up attaining, what you can end up acquiring from the night. He will do everything possible. So what's he going to do? Well, he'll have everybody show up to the table and he'll make you forget to make place cards, which by the way, every year you hear me say the same thing. On your list, I'm going to say it. You're all going to try to bake like a Pesach cake. And 90% of the time it flops. That's just the way it goes. It's a Pesach cake. You don't have flour. You don't have it. Once in a while it works. Good. I would tell you, instead of making three other Pesach cakes, because now to make it up, you just start to go through. Take out the time to write out place cards for your table or for wherever it is that you're going. Even if you're going to your parents or grandparents, just say, hey, would it be okay if I wrote out place cards? I'm telling you, like afterwards, I see some of you are shaking your heads from past years. It has saved marriages. It is the greatest because when everybody shows up, hey, it's the funniest thing. You can't argue with a place card. It's just, it's d'oraita. That's it. It's set. That's where you're sitting. Yeah, because if not, when everybody shows up to the table, it's like, all right, where's everybody sitting? And the hostess doesn't realize that, oh no. I'm going to probably be offending half the people right now. And so the hostess says, don't worry, everybody just sit wherever you want. That's never worked ever by any Pesach Seder. Because do you have all the parents sit together with the kids all the way at the end? Do you, who sits around the grandparents, who don't sit together because they don't get along? All these different things. This is something you got to figure out from beforehand. If you have time, because everybody has plenty of time, but I used to do this back when I was a good Rebbe. So we used to have my students over in Israel. I would actually, inside the place cards, I would write a little love note to each person. Like, I'm so happy you're here by our Seder. You've done well this and that, and to my kids also. So I'm not telling you to write a love note to everybody showing at the table, but at least to your kids. Something to your husband. You can write to your husband, you're welcome for having such an awesome wife. You know, that's what a great place card. I'm just saying, like it really sets the tone. A person, oh, what's this? Wow. And it just... looking forward to getting the geula together. It just takes an extra few seconds, and it's really, really a beautiful, beautiful thing to start off with. And again, I'm saying this because the Satan, the evil side of the world, whatever you want to call it, is going to try to throw a monkey wrench into our seder, and for good reason, he's petrified of what we will be accomplishing, Bezrat Hashem. So let's get into what we're going to be accomplishing. Every single year, we have a beautiful seder.
My kids do it. Keeps them busy, and then I put them where I want it. And
you have notes. Them write the notes,
yeah,
too?
And they write notes.
Oh, that's the cutest thing.
Our kids we're so happy you're here.
Nice.
Are welcome to our Seder. It's cute.
So there you go. Something to do with the kids, on that Erev Pesach where there's nothing to eat. Because you can't give them matzah. You can't, yeah. So that is definitely a good time to have the kids go and write it up 100%. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Shalom Nevi Devaro. All right. Next, there is a theme to Pesach. We need to get the theme to Pesach. There is a theme that we are meant to give over. So there's a concept of v'higadeta levincha. Now, every year, the way I give you over the theme is I do a whole build-up. I'm going to do the build-up some up, but not as much this year. because there are a few points that I never get a chance to get to because of this buildup. So let's jump right into it. What is the theme of Pesach? Ve'igadata levincha, you have to tell over to your children. So step one is, and I had a lot of my students at my house last night, Baruch Hashem, my Monday night crew are my post-high school guys, and I said to them, step one, guys, you have to say over the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. And they looked at me a little bit odd. I'm like, guys, the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. And like, Rabbi, could you just tell us a story in case we don't? I'm like, come on, you guys know it. Now, they did know it. I'm not saying that they didn't, but they were surprised to hear that you say over the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Now, it's not surprising that they were surprised to hear. I want you to think about this. The Haggadah is made in a very specific way. And very many times, we end up spending way too much time. Last year, we went, my family and I, at the end of the summer, we went to Yellowstone National Park. Incredible place. I definitely advise everybody. What a wonderful family trip to go to. Few things, bring tweezers, bring Band-Aids. One of my kids, he was like riding his hand along one of the wooden things, and he just got like a shard, just like this massive thing, something you'd kill a vampire with. He just got this thing like all the way inside his neck. Man, and he was crying, and rightfully so. I stopped a couple of the park rangers there. I'm like, do you have tweezers? You have to get the thing out. Like, nope. Like, I don't know. What do park rangers, like, you'd think eventually, because one of them did say to us, man, that happens all the time. Why didn't you have something? So bring tweezers, please. But the reason I bring this up is because over there they have geysers. A geyser is this, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I'm not a scientist. But basically, underneath the ground, you have certain things happening. And just it just shoots up. And you get this vapor, this smoke, all these. And they just like shoot up out of the ground. So some of them are just smoking. Some of them are just like. And then the Old Faithful, that is the very famous one that goes off every hour or so. You go, you watch it. We show up to Yellowstone. We get in there. It's a massive national park. It takes a day or two to be able to. We show up. We see the first geysers. And the first few, it's weird. It's a weird thing to see. It's very outworldly. You have these things that smoke are just coming up from the ground. And we stopped and we're spending time. We're looking at them and we're like, wow, I can't believe it. We're taking pictures with them. We must have spent 20 minutes over there. A half hour. I'm like, all right, guys, come on. Let's go. No, we want to see it. I didn't realize. Those are the sad, very not so impressive geysers that God put at the beginning of the park. When you get into the park itself, you start to see these geysers that will blow. Some of them are just erupting all the time. And on the other side of that, the whole ground has this rainbow color rock formation all around it that you cannot believe you're on planet Earth. And as you walk through all of them, the steam, I'm telling you, the experience is unbelievable. But we may have been rushing through a few certain parts of it. My wife, Ashley, you missed maybe, like, I keep on saying, like, that waterfall part of it. Incredible. She was dealing with my son who had the tweezer. I was useless. I was no help. I'm just like, man up, you know? So I took the twins and everybody else to go away while mommy, the amazing mommy, is trying to take care of it. But I kind of think to myself, how sad is that, that I spent so much time by those few in the beginning when there was a whole park to see. And I bring that up because the Haggadah is the same thing. If you spend time at the beginning of the geysers, at the beginning of the Haggadah, and you spend time over there by, now it's beautiful and definitely start, but the reason why you have karpas is just to get the kids to start to ask questions, like, why are we doing this? But that's when everybody likes to schmooze, and everybody likes to say, was there traffic on your drive-in? By the way, how that business, all these, they start, because everybody's starting, you know, kind of together. That's not the time. Yachatz, we go through that, we explain it, but keep on going. Halach ma'anya, this is the poor bread. We go, we hide it. Manishtana, we try to get through these things actually pretty quickly. We'll see next week when we have the cards. All those things are there to get the kids to ask questions and to give us a focus in what each part of the Seder is. But then we move on from that. The main part of it, the geysers to go and see, the main attraction of Seder night is telling over the story of Egypt. That's the main part. And unfortunately, so many times at that point, a lot of the women are checked out. You know, a lady's like, oh, I got to go check on the soup. And then all of a sudden, every lady all around, everybody's got to go check the soup at the same time. And they leave the men to sit around and talk about it. No, you should be there. Hear out the Seder. Hear out the talk of the... And that starts from Mitchila, Arami Oved Avi, Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And then it goes into Bimtei Ma'at. We went down to Egypt. And then the father has to say over the story. Simply the story, without any big pirushim. The story. We were once a family. Imagine us as a family. And then we leave our place and we go down to Mitzrayim because Hashem told us we have to go down. And the father, Yaakov, he was petrified to go. He didn't want to leave Eretz Yisrael. Who wants to leave? Who wants to leave Eretz Yisrael? And by the way, at that point, your kids may start to ask questions, the questions that the Rebbe didn't answer. They're the questions that your Rebbe, you know, like a lot of times your kids come and your kids know a lot more than you do because the Rebbe did a fantastic job of giving them way too much either information or stacks of Haggadot. And I'm saying that in a joking way. It's really amazing. You know, and some of the ingenuity of the Moros, different things. I always look forward every single year to see, you know, the picture of your little kid over there, and like you turn the page and she's washing her hands, and the next one she's breaking the matzah, the next one, you know, and then she's holding an afikoman and it says over there, mommy, please get, you know, all these like really cool stuff. But you gotta tell the story. We left, and then we went down, and Yaakov was crying as he went down with his family, not sure what to expect, but Yosef was there. And get into the story of Yosef a little bit. Then get into the story of what happened. Now, if you're gonna tell me you don't know the story, that's okay. But as a mother, you're preparing so much for Pesach, you don't have to tell it. Instead, you tell your husband, I'm preparing so much for Pesach, I expect you to be able to say over the story. And your husband's like, you're not going back to Rabbi Ben Shushan Shir anymore. That's just all there is to it. Putting crazy ideas into your head. Good. I will fight him. That's it. No, you have a mitzvah, v'gata levincha, to tell over Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, the story of the Jews leaving Egypt. He's got to say over the story. There was one year I got way into it. I scared the kids, scared the living daylights out of them. You remember that? It was in Eretz Yisrael. So Azriel was going to be like the Jewish guy, the Jewish slave in Egypt. And I was Paro. I had my hat on. I was decked out like Paro. It was a good costume. And I said to him, build me a pyramid, slave. And we're just trying to show the kids how bad it was. And he had these kapla. Those are the wooden little things. And he's like, okay. It just starts to... pushed him onto the floor, and the kapla went everywhere. The dude's like, what's happening? And I yelled at him, brruh, 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 and then I whipped off my belt, and I started just right next to him, just whoosh, build it faster. And I started yelling on top of my lungs, and the twins started crying. Oh, man, good times. Eretz Yisrael. So you don't have to do that. You don't have to scar your kids. Please don't. But I am saying that you really, really get into it. And when it gets to the makot, you have a fun time with it. We've discussed in the past about the makot, what you do. Go online, you're going to see with the makot, right? The very famous first one is that the kids walk around with like these empty cups. Some of them have just a little powder, like Kool-Aid on the bottom, red powder, and other ones don't. And they hand it to each adult at the table. And then you let the kids walk around with a pitcher of water. And the kid says to the adult, are you a Jew or are you a Mitzri? And they go and they pour the water. And if it's a blank cup, just, oh, you're a Yid. And then if there's red on the bottom, it starts to turn blood. Oh, you're an Egyptian. Ah! And then you start to talk. Like, can you believe that they had blood, that they had the... You have to say over the story. That is your mitzvah, your husband's mitzvah, to give over the story as best as we can. Now, that is step one. Story is step one. There are four other places to pay attention to inside the Haggadah. Today, we're going to talk about two out of the four. Next week will be the other two out of the four. The other four places that we have to pay attention to is, and maybe next week, I should have told you guys for this week, if next week, if you can bring your own Haggadah, you know, like just to be able to have out to see it. So, our children have to be able to answer themselves a few questions when they leave the Seder. They have to be able to answer, what makes me a Jew? They have to be able to answer, is it a positive thing to be a Jew? The world today may not necessarily give us such credence as being a positive people. The next thing is, as a Jew, what's my responsibility? And then the last and probably the main one is, Does Hashem love me? Does Hashem love me? Now, in that is emunah. In that is, you know, do you believe in God? I think our kids still are in a place where they believe. But this Hashem that they talk about, this Hashem, when I hear my little daughter and my little son talking, they always have these different, like, outdos with each other of what Hashem can do. Oh, yeah, Hashem is strong enough. Hashem can throw the whole world into the sky. And then my daughter would be like, oh, yeah, he can throw the whole sky into the world. They have all this back and forth stuff. That Hashem that they hear so much about, that Hashem that they hear sometimes, oh, you're doing an Aveira, Hashem's not so happy. Or, oh, you're doing a mitzvah, Hashem is. So all these different things. Does that Hashem love your child? Does he love him? Will he ever let him go? The Yetzirah, the Satan, he is petrified for your kids to be able to have a clear answer to those questions. If they do and if they could, so then the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, it did its, it got its goal, it got its place. The story was to tell them, yeah, it's amazing to be a Jew. This is your responsibility as a Jew. And Hashem loves you no matter what. Eliyahu HaNavi wasn't so sure about this. Eliyahu HaNavi, way back by Har HaKarmel, when after the fire came down from heaven and took his karban, Eliyahu HaNavi thought all the Jews would be convinced that there's a Hashem. He thought all the Jews would be convinced to come back, and they ended up chasing him out. Eliyahu HaNavi ended up speaking bad about Hashem. Eliyahu HaNavi ended up speaking bad about the Jews to Hashem and saying, they don't stand a chance. They have no continuity. If after all those miracles, they're still being this negative people, still going back to Avodah Zarah, they don't stand a chance. Hashem said to Eliyahu HaNavi, you're going to see how wrong you are. You think these people don't have a continuity? For every single Brit Milah from here until the end of time, you, Eliyahu HaNavi, will be there to see that they have a continuity. And every single Pesach Seder, from now until the end of time, when there's a father telling his son about the reality of who he is, of his responsibility, of his birthright to eternity, of his connection to his God, every time there's a father telling that to his children, a mother telling that to her children, every time that happens, Eliyahu HaNavi, you have to be there. You have to stand and bear witness to how wrong you are. That is the night of the Seder. It's that powerful. There are four places inside the Seder that we really pay attention to that. Place number one is by V'hi She'amda. And let's think about this now. V'hi She'amda is the answer to a very difficult question. The question is, how could Hashem allow the world to do what it does to his Jews? We don't have a direct answer, and I need to start this off by saying that I'm not going to give any kind of clarity or any claim to say that I know why or what Hashem does what he does. It's not it. I will simply give you over a conversation between Avraham and Hashem. And that conversation is so important that it's in the Haggadah. By Baruch Shomer Haftachol Yisrael Baruchu, right afterwards, over there, it begins to talk about the conversation between Avraham and Hashem. And it goes like this. Avraham Avinu says to Hashem, "Bema'eda ki ereshena, with what do I know, ki ereshena, that we will have a Yerusha, that we will inherit." What does that mean? It's a very interesting conversation. Avraham Avinu, the pasuk right before and in the Torah in Lech Lecha, it says that God vayaminu lo vayachshava lo letzedaka, that God believed in Avraham. That means that God trusted Avraham's emunah was incredible, invincible. Avraham's emunah was just, his belief was beyond this world. The next words in the Torah is, Avraham says to Hashem, "Of course I believe in you, but b'ma'eda ki ereshenu, how do I know, how can I trust that my children will inherit this land of Israel?" Now all the rabbis over there, they jump on this and they say, "Whoa, Avraham, wash your mouth out with soap. How can you talk to Hashem that way? And more than that, Hashem, you just said in the Torah that Avraham is the one who believes in you. V'yaminu lo, God believed in him, he believed in God. So what's Avraham asking? How do I know that my children are going to inherit Israel? The rabbis explain it like this. Avraham Avinu was saying to Hashem, Hashem, I know good and well that you're going to keep up to your end of the deal. Vayaminu lo, I believe in you, Hashem. I believe that you will keep up to your end of the deal. You said that my children will get Israel. You said that we are the chosen people. You said that we're going to be the ones to bring Mashiach. You said that we're the ones who are going to earn this world and the next, Olam Haba, to live with you for eternity. I believe in all of that. I just have one question. How can you guarantee me that generations of free-willed people will always choose you? And that's a very tough question. And I know, guys, we say this question every year, but this is the theme of it. How can you guarantee me that for generations, free-willed people will always choose you, Hashem? Because if there's free will, they can choose whoever they want to choose. So you mean to tell me that for the next 100 years, maybe my kids or grandkids will go because they remember me? But for the next 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 3,000 years, all these years, the Jews will always end up choosing you. I know you're going to keep up to your end of the deal of giving them Israel if they stick to their end of the deal. But how in the world could I possibly know that they're ever going to stick to their end of the deal? That is the question that Avraham Avinu was asking. And what's Hashem's answer? Yodea teda. Oh, you're going to know. Avraham said, "Bema'eda, with what do I know? Ki erishenu, that we will inherit." Avraham was answered by God. God said, "Yodea teda." These are all words in the Haggadah right before Vihisha Amda. Yodea teda. Oh, you're gonna know. Ki geria zaracha ba'aretz lo lahem. They're going to be a fremda. That's Yiddish for an alien people. They're going to be Geryez Zaracha Baaretz Olam. Va'avadum, and I'm going to work them very hard. V'inuy Otam. They're going to be pained. Arba Me'ot Shana, for 400 years. You want to know? You want to know how the Jews will always remember me? Because I'm going to send them into the world, and they'll have a choice. If they choose to connect with me, so then that's how they're going to end up having the Yerusha. And if they choose to ignore me, if they choose to believe that they can be anything else but their God-given right to be a Jew, if they forget who they are, so then, va'avadum ve'inuyotam, then they're going to be enslaved by Egypt. So then they're going to be impained by Egypt until they wake up and they realize who they are. I will not let them ever go. They will never be able to just simply cease to be my people. Mark Twain very famously asked, and we read Mark Twain every year, but now we'll just say the last line. Mark Twain very famously asked, what is the secret of the Jews' immortality? The non-Jews of the world know. They know that we're here forever. They know that we've been around from the beginning. Now, I hope nobody's being offended by this, and I hope nobody's getting upset by Hashem, but you got to look at the facts. Take your feelings out for 1 second and look at the facts. The facts are, the Jews have been around since the beginning of time. The Jews have survived through every type of empire, every type of ruler, every type of kingdom that has tried to kill us out, wipe us out. Every generation we've had that. From Purim over to the Spanish Inquisition, over to the Jews of Mainz, over to the Jews in the Rhine country, over to the Jews very many times in the Sephardic countries, coming down to the early times of the 1800s and late 1800s, because this letter that Mark Twain wrote concerning the Jews was written to him by an American lawyer in the year 1899, and the American lawyer is saying, why can't the world just leave the Jews alone? This, my friends, is 40 years before the Holocaust ever even started. This is our story over and over again, that the world has tried to decimate and destroy us. That is who we are. Like it or not, you are just a blip on the screen of a history that is extremely rich, that is laid out before you and has been laid out for thousands of years before you and laid out after you. You can either stand up and disagree with it. You can either stand up and be offended by it and turn all woke on that. You could. What do you mean? How could you say? I'm looking at history. And historically, we have sang this song. V'hi she'amda lavoteinu, It was on this. On what? Vehi. It's referring to something. It's on this statement that we just had of Yodea Teda Ki Ger Yer Zeracha Baras Olam. On that statement that Hashem said, if the Jews should step out of line, I will hurt them and pain them and I will wake them up until they know who they are. So that's how they will always stay true to me and never stray. That statement, Vehi, that statement, Sha'amda is what we stand. Lavotena Velanu. That we say, Shelo Echad Belvad Amad Aleinu Lachalotenu. It wasn't just one nation that stood up to try to destroy us. Ella, Bichol Dor Vador Omdim Aleinu Lachalotenu. Before October 7th, before the Holocaust, before the Spanish Inquisition, before all these different times that history has bothered to record when they were trying to kill out the Jews, we have been saying Vehi Sha'amda. That means that the Jews have been saying that for every single generation, Bechol Dor Vador, Omdim Aleinu Lechaloteinu, they are standing up to destroy us. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Mi'adam, and Hashem saves us from them. Why are we so special? We have to say to our kids at that moment, it's amazing. Hashem will never let us be anything but a Jew. If you try to stray or try to forget or try to be anything else, Hashem will be there to wake you up. And you want to know why? Because if you ever tried to leave Abba or Mommy, if you ever tried to say that you weren't our kids, if you ever tried to, we would do everything we can to try to keep you because we love you, because you're everything to us. And as Jews, we're everything to Hashem. He loves you. And He's promised us that He will never, ever let us go. And if we should forget Him, if we should live a life without the Torah, if we should decide to stray from Him and think that we're smarter, then Hashem will wake us up. Hashem will not allow it. Hashem will bring us back and close to Him. The Jews in Mitzrayim were in the 49th level of Tum'ah. They were in the 49th level of impurity. They prayed to every other Avodah Zarah to save them. And I want you to hear this. When they left Egypt, the angel said, Elu ovdei avodah zarah ve'elu ovdei avodah zarah. The Jews have done avodah zarah and the non-Jews have done avodah zarah. God, why are you saving the Jews? That means that the Jews were praying to every single one of the powers that be in Egypt, of all of those idols. They were praying to every single one of them and they saw it doesn't go. It just doesn't go until finally Vayizaku, they yelled out to God and they said, we know that it's you. We know that there's nothing else. And that's when God answered them. It comes down to a place in a time where the Jew has went and tried every other enjoyable thing or every other seemingly powerful thing. The Jew has gone into every last nook and cranny to try to find every last enjoyment in this world by putting his back to God, and then God wakes us up. But he doesn't have to. You can have a Pesach night where we can say to Hashem, there's no need to wake us up anymore. We're with you. We love you. We're connected to you. Show us your ways and let us be your people. Guys, that's the reason why this Pesach night is the beginning of the Omer, which will be the 49 days leading up to marrying God by Shavuot. I mean, this is why it starts. So that's the Vehi Sha'amda, explaining to our kids, to ourselves and to our kids, that no matter what, you're a Jew, no matter what. As far as you try to stray, and guys, we saw so many of these videos right after October 7th of so many people, Israelis, others, who are coming back covered in tattoos, having said that I thought I left my religion behind me a long time ago. But, Shelo Echad Belvad Amad Aleinu Lachaloteinu. No, they've tried to destroy us, and if they hate me so much for something that I know nothing about, shouldn't I go and figure out what it is that's lying dormant inside me? To bring my reality to the fore, to get a recognition of why God bothered to make me a Jew. Shouldn't I have that? Shouldn't that mean something to me? Give this to your children in the youngest of ages. Let them hear this. Let them be proud of this. Now, that, my friends, is step one. We said there were four steps. That's by Vehi Sha'amda. From there goes the whole story of Egypt. From there in the Haggadah goes the whole story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. And over there you're talking about how we strayed from God. And then God, we yelled out to him, and then God brought the makot and killed out all the bad guys. That is the push and the drive of Yetziat Mitzrayim. And then we get to Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. Finishing off for today, we're just going to explain Pesach. Pesach is a very funny sounding word. So at this point of the Haggadah, Rabban Gamliel Omer, says Rabban Gamliel, Kol Omer, Shloshet Devarim Elu Yotzeg Decha Vatam BaPesach. You have to say these three things in order to fulfill your obligation of Pesach. You have to say Matzah, you have to say Pesach, Matzah Umarar. You have to say Pesach, Matzah Umarar, in order to fulfill your obligation. So now, guys, I don't know if you realize, but there's a few obligations over here that maybe we haven't been cognizant of, but really to pay attention to. Number one, Ve'gadta Levencha, to tell over the story. What is the story? Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, to say over the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. What is the outcome of that, to know that you got the mitzvah? Well, step one is that the Jews found out that they're a Jew and they can't be anything else even if they tried. That's step one. The next step now of Pesach. Pesach. Hashem skipped over us. Hashem skipped over us. When you read in the Haggadah, Pesach Zu al Shoma, well, we don't say Pesach Zu because we don't point to it, but Pesach al Shoma, Shepisach, the Hashem skipped over our houses. We went and put blood on the doorsteps. Very archaic thing. Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, you take the lambs, because the lambs are considered the gods of the Egyptians, you slaughter them, then you take the blood of those lambs, and you put it on your doorposts. So every single year, by the Menchushan home, what we do is I take out red construction paper. I cut out, like, drippity blood. I have the kids cut it out. You're right, you know, that afternoon is amazing. It turns into Arts and Crafts Central. Now, we have the kids go, but let's face it, my kid's father's a real baby. And I'm like, that doesn't look like blood. Let me cut it out, yeah? So we go, we cut it out, and we put it just all along. We just take tape and we put it all along our thing, the door post. Why? What's the significance of that? So I want you to appreciate. You guys remember we spoke by Purim, and I think this class can really appreciate this. You remember that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Eliyahu HaNavi, what did Hashem use to sign the Gezerah, to sign the decree against the Jews, to kill them out by the story of Purim? What chomer, what material did God use? Did God do it in cement or did God do it in blood? And he said to him, God did it in cement. He said, oh, shoo, okay. If the chomer, if it's what's called teat, if it's cement, so then that has a possibility to undo, because that means that the Jews themselves only gave into physical things. They only gave into the ta'ava of going to the party of Ahasuerus. And so therefore, all they have to do now is kind of show God we're not into the physicality more than you. And so that's why we explain we fasted on Tanit Esther, if you remember. And we just hold back from the physicality. What would it been had it been signed in blood? Moshe Rabbeinu sounds like if it was signed in blood, that's it. Finished with it. Jews would be gone. Well, guess what? There was one time that was signed in blood. If the Jews do Avodah Zarah, it gets signed in blood. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, I know you're coming to do Makah Bechorot. You yourself, Ani velo malach, Ani velo shliach, Ani hu velo acher. Hashem is coming himself to destroy. Well, Hashem, what's going to save the Jews? Because they all did Avodah Zarah. By virtue of your own rules, you have to destroy them. How are you going to get out of this one? It's dumb. Hashem said, all right, Moshe, I'm going to give you a little secret. If they take the God of the people that they themselves have been guilty of serving, and they slaughter those gods, and they take that same dam, that life force, and they put it by the delet, they put it by the door. Why the door? Today we don't have a chance to get it, but by the door, by the mashkof. Like, well, the word mashkof is hashkifah. It's to look out into the world. It's their outlook. It's their hashkafah. If they go and they put it on their door, so then I will skip over their house. I will Pesach. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, but that's not possible. Hashem said, Moshe, you're my people. And the same way that you're stuck with me, the same way like we said by Vehisha Amda, if the Jews try to leave God, God will wake them up and will always come back to God. The same way that the Jews are stuck with God is the same way that Hashem is stuck with us. I will never let you. We're in this together forever. This is love. This is connection. So even if you deserve destruction, we'll figure out a way, put the blood on your doors, but I will never let you go. And that's when we turn to our kids. We say to them, Would Abba and Mommy ever let you go? You know, would of course not. Hashem loves you more than I do. He loves you more than I do. So you got to know that He doesn't ever want you to ever stray or leave Him. He has a beautiful Torah to connect Him with. And He will never leave you. He'll be with you forever. Guys, this is the outcome that our children and ourselves certainly need to walk away with from the Seder. So this is step one. Bezot Hashem, I'm going to put this up on the podcasting if you want to re-listen to it. But this is the goal of what we're trying to go to. Next week, we're going to talk about matzah and marar. This, what we discussed today, was more the philosophical, was more the kind of like outlook to give. Next week will be more the practical. Matzah is more practical. Marar may be more practical as well. And then hopefully we'll have time to go through the cards that we're going to have to go step by step in the Seder itself. Be'ezrat Hashem. Have a wonderful day, guys.
Thank you.